The scripture reading today will be from Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, and it's up on the screen to follow. It's the parable of the persistent widow. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected men. And there is a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is the word of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You are welcome to church. This is the word of the Lord. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you so much for this moment. We have come to you, Jesus. Lord, we pray that you speak your heart to us this morning. And may you encourage hearts that are before you. Lord, meet us at the point of need and help us to know how much you love us and how much you are desiring a fellowship with us. We give you praise that you are here to bless us today. Christ, in your dear name I pray. Amen. Amen. My name is Maureen. This is my home church. And I do a lot with Sunday school, and I love that ministry. I'm thankful to Pastor Daniel and the leaders for giving me this opportunity to bring you God's word today. And as John, thanks for the reading of the text. As we heard from the reading of the text this morning, from the parable of the persistent widow in Luke 18, 1 to 8. By the way, we are in the parable series, and today this is what we are considering. And Jesus, we have known from parables that Jesus teaches a moral lesson from parables. And most of the time, with most of the parables, the lesson is found, you know, towards the end of the parable. But this one is a bit different. The lesson is found right at the beginning. So before even Jesus starts everything, he lets them know the goal of the parable in advance. And the goal is, man ought to pray and not to lose heart. We need to pray and we don't have to give up. Can you turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, the master says, pray. And don't give up. These are not my words. They are Jesus' words. It says, pray and do not give up. Wonderful. So the immediate context of the parable follows the last section of Luke 17. Jesus warns his disciple against an impending danger, an affliction that was coming because of his coming, the coming of the Son of Man. And so the disciples should have need of much patience and continual fortitude and influence and protection from the Almighty. And by this, they had to pray until they receive full answers to their prayers. So Jesus encouraged their hearts that regardless of what you go through, the times will be hard, but do not lose heart. Pray. Do not lose heart. Pray. And he illustrates his point, telling us a story about two characters, a judge who was heartless and unjust, and a widow who had been wronged and all she needed was justice. In biblical text, widows are counted among the most destitute in society. They were destitute in society. Widows were commonly poor, had no means to support themselves, they had no power, they had no authority, and for the most part, they were liable to oppression by those who were in power or the powerful. And because of this, their social position and economic standing, God made provision for them. God made provision for them, helping to ensure that they were not victims to exploitation. So in Exodus 22:20 and also in Isaiah 1:17, God charged his people to defend the widows. And particularly for judges, the Lord told them that they were to defend the fatherless and plead the cause of the widows. They were to be patrons and protectors for the widows. And by so doing, they will be gods. They will be like God. And they will be called children of the Most High. So justice and mercy are at the hearts of God. The widow in our story today was dealing with a corrupt justice system. And this corruption in her days did not reflect the heart and the justice of God. It simply did not reflect God's heart for justice and God's heart for mercy. It was a system where usually bribes were paid before a judge could attend to their case. And in pursuit of her justice, she came across so much difficulties and limitations. She had obstacles that she needed to overcome. First of all, she was a woman, and that meant that she had little standing before the law. Secondly, those days, women did not attend court, and this woman did not have a husband or any person to stand with her. So she was alone. She was poor and couldn't afford to pay bribe, even if she had wanted to do so. But amidst of all that, she was bold and persistent. Even though she did not have any man to stand with her, she did not have any advocate to speak on her behalf. Even though she did not have money to pay bribe, even though she did not have any power, she did not have any authority, she did not allow his situation to determine her actions. Rather, she overcame the limitations and cried out for justice. She made her voice known and did this persistently. And the Matthew Henry commentary, points to some critical things that this woman did. Like every day, she will follow this judge. She will follow the judge in the street, solicited him in open court. She did not get tired. And every day, constantly, her cry was one: give me justice. Give me justice. Avenge me from my enemies. So today, the judge will hear a knock. Give me justice. Tomorrow, it's me again, Your Majesty. I need justice. Another day, it's the widow that came the day before. I am still crying out, I need justice. I am here today. It is me continually. Scripture says that he did this persistently. And did that pay off? Did that pay off? I remember a time, I don't know about you, but you know, somewhere, somehow, persistence pays. I remember a time in my life that I had to do internship. I was given open letter to do internship. And I went to this organization. I wasn't invited there. My internship letter was not to them. But I realized that they had everything that I needed that would help me in my career, because I wanted to do research at some point. And I went there and I asked of the human resource director, and they said he had traveled. So the next, the Monday, I went there and I sat by his door. And the man noticed this lady who had been there for a very long time. So he came to me and was like, "Who are you looking for? You've been here for a very long time." And I said, "I'm looking for the HR. Do you know him?" I said, "No." He said, "I'm the one." He said, "Okay, I need placement in this place." And the HR was like, "No, everywhere is full." And I said, "Please, would you give me placement? I don't know anywhere else to turn to." And consistently, he said no. And I wasn't prepared to take no for an answer. I sat there and I was like, "Sir, please, I need your help. Will you help me?" So he picked a phone and called one of the department and asked them, "Do you have a spot that this girl can just join the team?" And they said, "No." And I was like, maybe we can create something for her. Just let her come. So that was how come I got in there. Somewhere, somehow, persistent pays. So that was the case of this woman. And interestingly enough, as long as he kept coming, the judge kept refusing her for a considerable amount of time. Scripture says that for a while, he refused. But afterwards, he said to himself, "Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that he will not beat me down by her continual coming." This judge who did not fear God and had no regard for people, by the widow's consistency, by the widow's persistency, he gave in. He did not give in because he had compassion on her. No. He did not give in. He did not listen to her because he felt that, "Oh, I think it's about time." No. Like we are told here in Scripture, it was solely because of her persistence. So the only grounds, the sole grounds on which the judge granted her plea, was that the woman did not give up. She did not give up. She did not give up. She was persistent. And this is the heart of Jesus in the message. Verse 6, "And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge said. And will not God bring about justice for his own elect, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you the truth. He will see that they get justice quickly." Amen. Amen. This is what Jesus is saying. And here, it's amazing to see how Jesus spoke to the disciples. Jesus employs the rabbinic teaching tool from the lesser to the greater. And that is a form of a deductive reasoning that asserts that if a proposition holds true for a lesser case, then it must be more true or greater in a superior one. And we see that Jesus, oftentimes in his teachings, he will employ this. For example, in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, he said that, "If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God your heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to those who seek him. And in Luke 12:24, Jesus said, consider the ravens. They do not reap. They do not sow. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet, tell someone yet, God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than birds. Jesus' argument from the lesser to the greater speak to God's character and God's integrity in his relation to his people. Speaks to the character of God, the integrity of God, and the love that he has for his own elect. God has loved us with an everlasting love, scripture tells us, and we are his. And the scripture that we know, for God so loved the world, can we do that together? Mm-hmm. God loves us so much. He gave us Jesus. God gave you and I eternal life. The love of God shown to us as a people, as sinners, is so amazing. It's so incredible. And so God wants you to know how much you are loved by him. Jesus wants you to know how much you are loved by your heavenly Father. And God is bound by his character to do his people good. Amen. And so here we see that Jesus said, if this corrupt judge, in other words, what he said, if this corrupt judge who has no regard for man, and God will administer justice because he was tired from the poor widow's persistence, how much more will God, the judge of heaven and earth, how much more will God, your heavenly Father, vindicate his people who cry out to him day and night? Jesus shows that God is not in any way like this selfish and unjust judge. God is not like him. And so the character of God, scripture tells us that righteousness and justice are the very foundations of the throne of God. God is a righteous God. And his righteousness, in God's righteousness, he knows how to do good. He knows how to bring about justice. He is bound by his character to rectify every wrong and to establish that which is right. And so in his eternal existence, God has never been unjust to anyone. In his eternal existence, he has always been a good God. God knows his own. And secondly, God cares. He's not like the unjust judge we encountered in the story. He cares about the vulnerable. He is not like the judge who did not care about justice and the afflicted and the oppressed widow. The unjust judge was motivated and granted the widow justice based on her persistence. I just want to get rid of her. I just want to go. But our heavenly Father is not like that. His arms are open, and he welcomes us to come to him. And so God cares so much about his creation. He is gracious and compassionate towards us. And for the vulnerable, like the widows, the orphans, the fatherless, in Psalm 68, verse 5, God himself declares to be the defender of the widow and a father to the fatherless. Praise the Lord. And so God is not in any way like this judge we are talking about. God is a good God. God is a good father. God loves his own. And in Isaiah 49 verse 15, I love that scripture. It says that, see, can a woman forget her nursing baby, her nursing child, and not have compassion on the child that she bears? Though she will forget, but your God will never forget you. God never forgets his people. God never forgets his people. He loves us so much. According to Adam Clark's commentary, he puts it this way, that God is a loving father who is attentive to our every cry. He is generous in his gift. He is concerned about our needs and ready to answer when we call him. The only reason this judge granted the plea was that he was afraid of the persistent coming of the widow. But for God, he answers us for his glory and for our good. He is never tired of hearing our prayers. God is never tired. So the prime lesson here, William Barclay observed, the prime lesson here is not that persistent, painfully extract blessings from an unwilling God. No. But that in prayer, we are coming to the one who is our Father and who is even more ready to give than we even ask him. God is calling us this morning, church, to a place of persistent prayer. Jesus wants us to be persistent in our prayers. Persistence in our prayers. And that is the point Jesus was making. And he calls his people, like we read, he said that the elect of God, they call unto him day and night. So the characteristics of the elect of God is that they seek God's face constantly, continuously, persistently. Praise the Lord. And so what other people may term push, like pray until something happens. You know, Jesus wants you and I to be consistent in our prayers, knowing that we have our Heavenly Father whose ears are widely open to hear our cry. Bible says that even before a word is on our lips, he knows. Our frame was not hidden from him when he made us in secret. He knows our frame. He knows our weakness. He knows all that we are. And yet he invites us to come. He tells us to come. And so in this knowledge, we come. What is persistent prayer? It is a continuous and steadfast communication with God that is characterized by perseverance and an unwavering faith. It is not about repetition, no, but maintaining an ongoing dialogue with God, trusting his timing and his wisdom. Praise the Lord. And in James 5:16, James tells us that, you know, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Other translation says that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Talking about Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 40 downwards, that even though Elijah was a man, he prayed consistently, fervently. And for 3.5 years, there was no rain. And he prayed again, and the rains came. And so you and I, we are men like Elijah. The difference, I believe, is that we have the Holy Spirit here in our time, and the Holy Spirit is in us. So how much more greater things you and I, we can do in this time? And it is the same God, and it is the same power. Hallelujah. Why do we have to persist in prayer? Why does Jesus want us to do this? Albert H. Courier said something that the importance of constancy and persistency in prayer arises from the place that it holds in a man's spiritual life. Prayer is to the soul what the nerves of the body are to the brain. So prayer, the place of prayer and consistency, persistency is important. Why do we have to do this? First, because we have a Father who yearns for fellowship with us. God wants us to be in touch with Him. And we don't only come to Him when we need something. We don't only pray when we need something. But we come to Him regardless, anytime, any day. And so persistent prayer keeps us in the presence of God. The love of God draws us into fellowship with Him. And it shows how much we are dependent on our God. And in that secret place, His revelation is made known to us. God, in His kindness, opens our eyes to know His will. As we linger in fellowship, we are blessed by Him. Secondly, persistent prayer, we need to be persistent and we need to pray constantly because it is our participation, you know, an agreement in all that God wants to do here on earth. And so when we cry out, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, O God," we are giving voice. We are agreeing to God's will to be done here on earth. And God wants us to cry out. And so that is our participation. And we agree with God in the things that He is doing in this world. And as the kingdom breaks in and liberation breaks forth and deliverance comes everywhere, your prayer matters. My prayer matters. Thirdly, we need to engage in prayer fervently because we have an enemy. The fact that we are on the Lord's side, we belong to a kingdom, the kingdom of light. And the kingdom of light is always in constant battle. The kingdom of darkness is always in constant battle against the kingdom of light. And so we don't have to be ignorant of the fact that we have an enemy who keeps fighting us consistently. Church, Satan never gives up. Scripture says that he does not rest until he does something which is evil. And so, for us as people of God, we need to stay in prayer. Jesus told Peter that Peter, the enemy, had wanted to have his way in your life, to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith will stand. And so by praying, we appropriate the victory that Jesus has already won for us. The fourth point is that persistent prayers, they build our faith and increases our strength. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 40, 31 says that, for those who wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run. They will not faint. And they shall walk, and they wouldn't grow tired. And so as we pray, our strength is renewed and our strength is increased. And I want to humbly submit that we don't get too busy in our lives to neglect our source of power. Jesus knows that life can be very busy. And especially in the society that we live in, life can be very, very busy. But your prayer is your strength. Get to the secret place. Persistent prayer, lastly, refine our prayers. Sometimes we can be praying to God for a particular thing or the other, and later we realize that, what was I praying for? When I was checking in with Pastor Daniel, he said something that amazes me, like, you know, all this while you were praying for stone and you didn't know that you were praying for stone. You thought it was bread you were praying for. God, give me bread. God, give me bread. And God, being omnipotent, omniscient, sees the hearts of his children, what they are crying out for. And it's like, you are crying out for stone. You didn't know that. So if you get to this point, it's like, Lord, you know what? Take your time and bake the bread. I will wait for the bread to come. You know, so it refines our prayers. One critical element that is needed as we persist in prayer is patience. Tell your neighbor, patience. You need patience. You need patience. So Jesus knows that there is that tendency for us to give up. And sometimes when we have prayed and it feels like the answers are delaying and the answers are not coming, we cry out, how long, oh God, how long? How long will you come through for me? Oh Jesus, have mercy. We cry out, how long will I take hold of my deliverance, my healing, my breakthrough? And how do we explain these delays in answers to prayer, especially when Jesus said that God will avenge his own speedily? And it's like, God, you are being too slow. But you said you will avenge speedily. You are being too slow, God. God has a timing for everything. Amen? And he says, Isaiah 60, 22, when the timing is right, I, the Lord, I will hasten it. I will make it happen. So sometimes we may have hard thoughts about the Lord because he doesn't answer our prayers. And at times, the way we want him to come in the way we expect. Sometimes it's not like that. We have to know that his ways are not our ways, and his timing is not our timing. And F.G. Forbes said something that, but know this, that somewhere, somehow, God will not be too late. He will not be too early. He is always on time. Habakkuk 2:3, he said that I will perform that which is good for you. It shall not tarry. When the timing is up, it shall not tarry. Beyond the appointed time, it shall not tarry. And so delays are not inactivities with God. It is rather a preparation. Sometimes the Lord is preparing us so that we can handle that which he can give us. So for the Israelites, he told them that I wouldn't drive all these people away immediately. I would do that little by little. And the little by little was to prepare them so that they will be able to take possession of the land, occupy the land when they have grown. So God is always answering prayers. And he will do everything together for our good. So we don't have to lose heart. And we don't have to faint. We need to keep hope and faith alive. And sometimes his answer will be no. And when he says no, we know that he is a good father. And he knows what is good. And so even though you say no to my request today, that is also speedily. Because he knows. He knows. He knows what is good for you. And the final bit, Luke 18:8. I tell you, Jesus said, God will give justice to his people speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? When the Son of Man comes, will he find a people who trust in the sovereignty of God? A people who trust in the character of God, still holding up in prayer. Because our ability to stay persistent is rooted, I have found personally, in my knowledge and conviction of who God is. When God comes, will he find people who still believe in their hearts and follow him? Who believes in his character and who are still praying? In conclusion, we see these three contrasts in the parable that we read. Jesus contrasting, praying contrasted with fainting. It is necessary for the people of God to pray and not to lose heart. And we need to do this constantly and persistently. And we live, as we do that, we live in constant love union with the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Secondly, the widow contrasted with God's elect. The widow was a stranger. We are God's elect. We are his children. The widow had no access to the judge. We have access to God. And he welcomes us to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. The widow did not have anyone, no advocate. We have Jesus, our great high priest, who is our advocate. Praise the Lord. And on top of it all, we have the eternal Spirit of God living in us. So Bible says that the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings that cannot be expressed. We have the eternal Spirit of God in us. Thirdly, the unjust God contrasted with God, our Heavenly Father. He did not have any interest in the woman. God Almighty is interested in us. Every single detail about your life, he is interested. He knows you. And the judge granted her request because he wanted to just get rid of her. But God grants our request for his own glory and our pleasure. And so, God wants us to know that he is the one who welcomes you to this space of prayer. The one who created you invites you this morning that come. What are those burdens that you are carrying? Come. Come to me, Jesus said. All you who have burdens, come, and I will give you rest. Cast your cares upon me, and I care for you. What are your cares this morning? What are those things that weigh you down bodily? Your needs. Is it a hunger? Is it a thirst? A pain? An infirmity? Is it grief? Doubts? Perplexities? What at all is it? Are you weak and you need strength in your body? Jesus calls. He says, come. And Romans 8:32, I love this so much. That if God did not spare Jesus and gave him up graciously for you and I, how will he not with him also freely give us all things? How will God not give you all things if he gave Jesus for you? Church, if Jesus should come this moment, will he find a praying people? It's my prayer that when he comes this afternoon or any time in the day or any time in the course of the year, or he will find a people who trust in the character of God, crying out day and night. Who knows that their heavenly Father loves them beyond all doubt, and they can lean into him day and night continuously praying. I want you to bow down your heads. Let's pray. You may be here this morning and you need grace. I want to pray for two categories of people. You just need grace. Lord, I am weak in prayer. I know you welcome me, but I am weak. I want to pray for you that you will receive strength in your inner man to rise up to persistent prayer. Because that is what the Master is calling us to do. Jesus, the God incarnate, he prayed day and night, and we ought to pray as children of God. There is no substitute to prayer. I want to pray for you. Lord, I pray for anyone needing strength to keep going on in their prayer life. I pray that you will give them strength in their innermost being. And the love of God that draws us closer, Father, you will help them understand your love anew. And you will bring them constantly to you. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will quicken every person needing this on the inside to prayer. Thank you for their lives. The second people I want to pray for, you may be here this morning and you don't know Jesus. You don't know the love of God. God is our heavenly Father. God wants you to experience his love and this fellowship. He wants you to experience relationship with him. I want to pray for you. Lord, I pray for anyone here needing your salvation, who desire to live in union with you. I pray that you meet them where they are at. And if you are here this morning, you can say this after me, that Lord Jesus, I have heard your word today. I want to live in union with the Father, with you and the Holy Spirit. May you draw me to yourself and grant me eternal life that you offer to everyone who calls on you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all, and tell your neighbor, the master says, pray and do not lose heart. The master says, pray, do not lose heart. God bless you.